with verse 14. And I've got a word tonight, and my thought is this, that you're saved to save. You're saved to be a part of saving others. That's actually a part of what the born-again experience is, that we share our faith with. And reading from Mark chapter 16 and verse 14, the word says here, "And afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, shall be cursed," another version says, another translation of the Bible. I want to point something out here, that when a person is born again, they begin to their heart's just full, and they just begin to share the gospel. If you've really been born again, something happens to you. It happens to everyone that's truly born again. And I think you should understand something here that's seen in verse 16. Now we're sharing to people. Not everybody that we share with is going to receive Christ. But all of it is extremely important. On Judgment Day, when the Lord's, when people, the word says this, considering Judgment Day, and the book of life was opened, and everybody whose name was found in the book of life was received by Christ, and everybody whose name was not in that book was not received, and there was other books. And the word says they were judged out of those things that were in those other books. Well, what do you think it was? Well, I'll tell you what it was. Part of it, at least, is how many times in this life people said no to Christ. Now, I shared with you recently that I started out with Christ saying, thanks, but no thanks. I wasn't raised in church. It just blew my mind. A young girl said, "Hey, man, are you born again?" I had never heard born again. But I'll tell you, I remember telling the guy that I rode with, "Man, I don't know what this is, but it's not for me. I'm sorry I went with you." I said, "I won't be coming back." Little did I know that from that moment on, there's a power that came over me. It's called the power of conviction. And for the next 18 months, 24 months in there, I just went along with the Lord, and he changed me one day at a time until I cried out and asked him, "Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins." I perceived that I was a sinner. I knew that. But there are a multitude of people that say no for their entire life. And that is a big problem. Can everybody hear me? I don't know how this can be with a big mouth like me, but people have said, "Brother Angelo, I hate to tell you this, but you need to talk a little loud. I heard that this, that, and the other, and there's only a handful of people here, so it's got to be one of you." So I'm talking as loud as I think I should be talking. Amen? But here's the thing. Believers share their faith. Nobody has to tell them. They just do it. And It doesn't have to be put on good ground. I've had the Lord tell me at times, go and talk to so-and-so. Now, they're not going to receive what you have to say. And at first, for many years, I thought, Lord, what? Then why should I go? He said, because I'm keeping account of everybody, and I'm keeping account in a accurate, honest way that they're going to be able to see. Let me tell you something about Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, God won't only reveal what you said. He'll reveal the thoughts that were behind that, according to the Holy Scriptures. All of that, he will judge people to the point that they know that they're nailed, one way or the other. And everybody whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there are five hells or five prisons spoken of in the Word of God about, and the last one, the final place for all angels that rebelled against Christ, for all people that said no to God, is a place called the lake of fire that is inescapable, and there's no parties in hell. People won't be partying in hell. What will people be doing? Weeping and gnashing their teeth and remembering. Absolutely, totally remembering some things. So we look in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19 says this. He said this to, I think it was Andrew and John. They had their nets right there. They were at the seashore. And he said, put those nets down and follow me. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And what were they? Were they the ministry? No. Were they the Sanhedrin? Were they priests? No. What they were was plain, ordinary people like you and me. And at the beginning, they dropped their nets. The word says they left their father and they followed Jesus. And he taught them how to be soul winners, as everybody in the body of Christ is taught by the Lord how to be a soul winner, how to win souls. And it's a very personal thing, and it comes through prayer and the Word and meditating on the Word and praying. Nobody had to tell me. See, I had a unique experience. I was not raised up in church, and in my case, that helped me. I was raised a heathen. My father owned bars, grocery stores. In his bars, he had prostitutes, and I cleaned those bars, and what my salary was anything I found on the floor, and I made more than the paper boys, I guarantee you. But I'll never forget the smell of that alcohol. I'll never forget the people that came in there. Now, in Chicago, there was a lot of underworld type of things. The people that came in there with the machines, they put machines in my father's bars, and just different kinds, and they changed them up. There was a lot of illegal things that happened there, and I just thought that was normal life. Normal life to me was not church. I never heard about being born again until I was 17 years old, so on and so forth. But that girl, she ministered to me. She witnessed to me. Nobody had to tell her to do that. She was bubbling. There was something inside of her that I could see. And I thought, this little gal might be a good girlfriend. But when she asked me if I was born again, she threw me for a loop. I had never heard of such a thing. That was in San Jose, California, when I first moved there. And I was brought up in Chicago. I'll tell you what we did. We went to church almost every Christmas and Easter, even if we didn't need to. I mean, that's just the truth. And you know what that is? That's nothing. Watch any of the shows. The Sopranos, any of those movies, the programs about what people did in that era, and you'll understand. And Jesus has obligated himself by the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost. See, if you're saved, if you're born again, something very real begins to happen to you, and you'll have a craving for the Word of God. You won't even know. I didn't even know why I had this craving. All I knew was my life was so messed up that I just stayed in my room, in my house, for months and months and months, and people would come and check on me. Now, this is the truth. Guys in the gang that I was in, they'd come. Some of them got on the floor in my mother's living room on their knees and asked Jesus to come into their heart. Most of them thought, man, we don't know what's wrong with Angelo, but whatever it is, we don't want it happening to us. And they didn't think very well of it. But you know, something wonderful happened to me. And as I read the Bible, I began to see who I really was. I began to see why I was so miserable, how I had failed so much by not knowing Christ sooner. And I raised my children in church. But there's a danger there. And the danger is getting used to the things of God and not esteeming them and counting them as powerful, necessary, and wonderful, and the best, and life-changing. The experiences I received were life-changing to me. Being born again in from the very first, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. Here was somebody that didn't know anything at all about anything at all that had anything to do with the Creator. And textbook, right down the line, began to happen to me. And it is still to this day. I'm 73 years old. I'm supposed to be retired. I don't want to retire. I'll tell you when I retire, when I die at this altar. Okay? That's when I'm going to retire. If I can still impart unto you something about the Lord that's positive, I'm going to do it, even if it mumbles out, crumbles out, doesn't make sense. But Jesus, in every true born-again person, there's something about you that'll want, you'll just want to share what happened to you. If nothing happened to you, you're not saved. Cheer up, though. There's still time while you're alive. Now, hear this out. I really believe in a way that people that are raised in church, what I have seen, I've never seen so much of it as when I moved here. Part of the problem is people are raised in church, and there's no difference in the church in many cases than the non-churched. It's to no effect. Going to church doesn't get you into heaven by itself. Now, that's the truth. Saying a prayer without any change in your life doesn't count for anything. I have asked a multitude of people, let me tell you, you're limited in this life as to what you can say from behind a pulpit, what a preacher can say. There's things we can't talk about, because if we do, we'll be ridiculed so much that most preachers don't have the boldness to just go on anyway and share it anyway. But you must understand, the only people that are going to be in heaven are saved people. And the only people that are saved people that are the people that receive the saved experience. Now, if you're born again, look, I was 19 years old when I got saved. The only churches I were in when I moved to San Jose, California, was when I fell under the power of conviction, I began to just roam into churches, and they had them open, and I would take it. I didn't even know what I was doing, but I'd take money and I just put it in the offering thing there. I didn't even know what I was doing. Something was happening to me. I could tell something that I could not explain. And then I read what Jesus said. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And few there be that find it. Now, I didn't write that. That's in every translation of the Bible. It says it like that. The Bible says what it means, and it means what it says, and it is the ultimate of what is truth and what is not truth. The same word, and I saw that, it wasn't no big, but, Jesus said, broad is the way. There's a lot of ways to end up in hell. There's a lot of ways to end up separated from God. Lots of them. Lots of things. Some things that are pretty gross and mean. Some things it's just an idea that people just didn't make time for God in their life. And they kept saying no, 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 no. And on that day, Jesus said, I will say to those people, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. So another clue of what it means to be born again is you begin to know God. He becomes your Father. Jesus is your Savior. And the Holy Spirit becomes the power of your life. Anything less than that or different from that is not salvation. And I've got news to you. I have preached in every denomination that there is, and there is saved people in every denomination that I've ever been in. There ain't one more better than the other. You know what? I was telling Kelly the other day, I said, Kelly, I think I'm just going to start encouraging people to say, when they say, well, what are you? Well, I'm Word of Faith. Well, not really. I'm charismatic. I've seen stuff I'm embarrassed of in those. You know what I am? I'm a Jesus person. I'm just a Jesus person with a freaking Bible. And I encourage you this. You can go ahead and be any denomination, but above that, be a Jesus person with a Bible. You can do that in any denomination that you want to, and anybody that says anything different, it doesn't know the truth. Now, do I agree with them? I don't agree with any denomination on the face of this earth. But you know what? How dare any of us have the arrogance to think we got it all? Let me tell you, anybody I have seen in every denomination that I've seen born-again people and love them all. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. I attended a funeral yesterday for a Catholic person, and I loved them very, very much. And the place was full. The spirit was beautiful. There's one crazy thing that happened. Listen, somebody had their phone, okay? Mine's in the car. And usually hers are off. And right at one of the most touching parts, that phone went off. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. He was a good friend of mine. I never understood a single word he said, but he had some mighty fine wine. And that father, when the guy, I don't know what the guy was trying to get it off, the father guy, he just started running at him, man. He was going to get that and throw it away or do something. He was going to get that stopped. I ain't never seen anything like that before. But let me tell you, the person that died was dear to me. It lived a full, born again, they loved God life. Don't let people try to put you and tell you that, no, we're the only ones, or we got it all, or this or that. Listen, that's not the body of Christ. You know, the Lord warns us in Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. The Baptist cannot say to the Pentecostal, I don't need you. See, that's just not true. See? Because you don't have to be Baptist to be born again. You don't have to be Pentecostal to be born again. You just have to come to a place in your life under the power of the Lord where you say, I'm lost, and the only way that I can be saved is to surrender to Christ. And I know people from every movement that there is that have surrendered to Christ. And that's the key. So everybody that is born again, there was just something in me, I just wanted to share it. I wanted to share that experience. And as I read the word, I understood why. Because the Lord began, I began to hear his voice, and he began to speak to me about other people, acquaintances, people that I knew. And all of a sudden, he gave me words that were anointed. Jesus turned to his disciples one day. There were fewer and fewer, and he said, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter said this, where would we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Let me tell you, you've got them even more. You've got them if you look for them. And being a witness, you are saved to save. Now, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30 says this. He that winneth souls is wise. You know what? I learned when to talk, and I learned when to shut up when that spirit came, when that spirit of revival, when that spirit of the new life came. It come all the time, regularly. I'm praying with somebody about getting saved. And you begin to learn things. You learn the ways of how to catch men. That's what was promised in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. That's only one place. Jesus said, from henceforth you will catch men. I'm going to teach you how to catch men. And you learn that thing. And let me say this here. You got to learn some skills. Right now I'm a little rusty on my turkey hunting. There's not very many of them. And I'm not doing so good so far. And I may not get one. But I promised myself that at least I was going to try. You should at least try, no matter how hard anything is. But what's the big deal? If you find a turkey, just shoot it. No, it just don't work like that. Sorry. No, you've got to figure out a whole lot more than that to kill a turkey. If you've killed the turkey, you've done something. During turkey season, legally, Arkansas turkey hunters can go anywhere in the world. They're some of the better ones. A lot of guys go up to Missouri. Sherry's brother went to Kansas, and I think he went to Missouri also. I think he's killed two or three birds already. Guy's pretty good. But he that winneth souls is wise. And being wise means you try to follow the leading of the Lord in a sharing attempt. The word says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that it's part of the it's part of the armor is your feet shod with the gospel. It's the sharing of the gospel of the Lord. Now, fellas, if you would put up my last verse, Psalm 126 in the New Living Translation, verse 5 and 6. And this is what the word says. And I'm going to tell you, this is the absolute total truth that I've seen for over 50 years. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with souls. with the harvest. I'm going to show you one time very recently that this worked for me. My daughter Shelley just turned 41. We got Shelley when she was 12 years old. She wasn't used to that regimented life. We went to church every time the doors was opened, and we just were different. I began to, with her clothing and everything about her life, you know, you're not going to live like that. When she was 18 years old, without telling us, on her 18th birthday, she left. And we didn't know where she was, and her boss wouldn't tell us where she was. We were concerned. But, you know, I just had to live with that. And that broke my heart. And we had a so-and-so a relationship. But anyhow, for many, many years, there was no change in Shelley. I'd pray for her. The rest of the family could see that it made me upset. It saddened me when she wasn't at our events. I couldn't help myself. She's just as much as one of my kids as the rest of them. And my family didn't completely agree with that. And all I can say is I just did what I felt like the Lord told me to do. And in December of last year, after many prayers, Shelley told me, "Dad, I heard God for the first time in my life." Some years ago, when Gary was still alive, and Shelley was probably 19 years old by then, 18, 19, I cried myself to sleep one night. Cried myself to sleep over Shelley. And I asked God some questions that I thought were important. I said, "God, why? Why would you give me somebody to raise? Why would you do that? Why, God? What good did that do you? What good did that do me? I don't understand." And I went to sleep, literally cried until I got so weak I fell asleep. And I remember this night, I'll never forget it. 2 o'clock in the morning came, and I heard my name called out by God. He said, "Angelo." And I was wore out. Somebody needs to hear this tonight, even in a small crowd like this. And he said, son, I said, "Yes, Father." He said, "I want you to go to town." I said, "I don't even think there's any stores open right now." "What?" He said, "Angelo, I want you to go to town." And I went to town at 2 o'clock in the morning. I was on Highway 22 coming in from Subiaco going towards Paris. Shelley was in a car with Gary and some others coming. And at 2:33 in the morning, we met head on. There wasn't a car in front of us, behind us, and we turned into the Walmart parking lot at the same time. And they saw that was me, I saw that was them, and I thought, "My God, what are you showing me, God?" And they hurried up and got out of there, and the Lord said, "Angelo, just go home now." I thought maybe he wanted me to chase him down or, you know, but I'm going to tell you something. If I were you, I'd be very careful how I dealt with people and tried to win people that have grown up and they have choices. I'd be a little different. I wouldn't scold people. Another thing I wouldn't do is mess with people and try to get people, they owe you something, and you try to make them go to church, make them pay their tithes, make them do this or make them do, I don't think I'd do that, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it makes people bitter when you do that. It makes people bitter. Now, when you've got those kids and they're under your roof, if you don't raise them in church, I promise you, you will wish that you did. I'm not the norm when it came to that. My family was so messed up. The next thing that the Lord did after he put me in the Word, he put me in a church. Calvary Community Church. The Pastor Williams came here many years later. He lives up in Fort Smith now. We renewed our vows at that time. And hear me, this is important. You cannot force people. In fact, some of the greatest harm you can do is try to manipulate people. And well, I'll do this for you if you come to church with me. And we think that's great. But you know, nobody ever did that to me. If somebody would have said, look, I was so hungry as a kid growing up, didn't have enough food, I'll buy you a meal if you go to church. Nobody ever said that to me. Not one person. And I got to noticing my own life, because I was guilty of that, to doing it to the max for many, many years. I'm going to get people one way or another. I'm going to get them in church. I'm going to get them saved. And you can have a real good intention and do a lot of harm to people. And one day, the Lord said, Angelo, let's look at your salvation. Nobody was hounding you every day to go to church. Yet 2 weeks after you got saved, you found a church that I gave for you to go to. Nobody ever tried to coerce you or make you pay your tithes. But after I showed you, you've been a tither ever since. Since about 1976, I've been a tither. Because I saw what happens if a born-again person doesn't tithe. See, I can't even talk about this, not even here. There might be some, all he wants is our money. No, no, I don't want your money. If you're born again, I want God's money. So I can keep doing what we're doing. So we can, how do you think this came about here? And on the way back home that night, the Lord said, Angelo, it grieves me that you're so broken over Shelley. Somebody better listen tonight. And this is what God said. I'm going to make you a promise, Angelo. If you'll trust me, if you'll trust me, you'll live and you'll see Shelley saved. Shelley's up with Melissa. They go to church together. She loves God. She loves me. Shelley's born again today. It just happened. It just happened. It happened in the last 4 months. There was month after month after year after year. But you know what? When God told me to trust him, like God took Abraham and said, look, if you can count all these stars, that's how many kinfolk you're going to have. He was never had, and he was in his 90s then. But the word says Abraham just believed him. You know what? I just believed God. I just put it to rest. And I stopped asking Shelley to come to church. I just told her that I loved her. I stopped trying to get her to say a prayer. I just kept telling her I was proud of her. I just kept loving her. she got saved. That event that I described at Walmart was many, many, many years ago, over 20 years ago. You know, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born. I've had women say, pray that I can have this baby before. People are so anxious. But to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And I'm going to tell you something about salvation. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to be born again. And God knows what that time is. And what we have to do is stay very, very close to the Lord. Because how many of you have somebody, it would mean so much to you if they got saved. Put your hand up if that's you. If there's just any one person, I'm going to tell you something. God wants them saved more than you do. He does. And you know what? If he gives you a promise, if you can let it be, I can't believe Shelley. She's a new creation. She's not the same person. I'm going to ask you to examine your heart, make an altar where you are, and let's take communion. I'm going to ask you to believe what you've heard.